Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Coming up on the programme this week,
we've had to learn as we go here because we built it, and I think we talked about it when we first launched it. We built it as this nice thing, and it's become such a vital thing now. The numbers have grown beyond anything that we could have even imagined. Getting over 300,000 users within a year just shows the role that giving people options can play in offering hope for them. This is live information, it's live data of people trying their best to give themselves a chance and give themselves hope, and that's something that we feel so passionately about.
The home of the UK's conversation about mental health. Welcome back to Mental Health Monday. It's a real pleasure to have you with us. And once again, thank you for your streams, your downloads, for people who are sharing, getting in contact with us here at the podcast to talk about stories, the way they've impacted your life, inspired you, or recommending of guests as well, something we're always keen to hear from. Recommendations, don't forget, contact me via the social media links. I'll put them in the podcast notes. As promised, this week's conversation is with the founder of the Hub of Hope, an app which I mention every single week, and a website which connects people to mental health services in their local area. I'm very pleased to say that it's expanding, it's getting bigger, and in fact, it's now relaunched for 2025 after a bumper year in 2024. In fact, got some data around this one. In 2024, the Hub of Hope, the app which connects you to local mental health services in the UK, saw an average of 25,700 visitors per month. Now that's looking for services across 14,500 plus listed services around the UK, and the numbers of people searching for those 14,500 services has increased by 66% in a year alone. Absolutely huge numbers. Since 2017, when the Hub of Hope was launched here on this podcast, more than 800,000 people have used it to find support with their mental health. So they're getting closer to 1 million people now looking for mental health support online using the Hub of Hope app. So Jake Mills is with us on the podcast this week to talk through these numbers, to talk through these incredible growth through 2024, the app which everyone should have on their phone and that could save a life, and just how big this whole issue has become.
It kind of started around just after COVID, when people started to turn to us and starting to use the Hub of Hope a lot more, because maybe the normal services that they would receive weren't available. And from then, it's just grown and grown and grown. And in particular, with 2024, you know, the numbers have grown beyond anything that we could have even imagined. Getting over 300,000 users within a year, with over 1 million searches for help and support in a year, just shows just how many people are looking for that type of support, alternative type of support. With the majority of people looking at our voluntary sector organisations, it just shows the role that the voluntary sector can play, the role that giving people options can play in offering hope for them.
Now, it's worth making the point, Jake, that the Hub of Hope was actually launched on this very podcast many moons ago. And I remember back then you were talking about sort of sitting at the kitchen table with the Excel spreadsheet with all these lists of organisations on, and how it was sort of organically growing. I'm presuming with the new app it's a little bit more advanced than that, or maybe it's not. Is it still on a laptop somewhere?
It's amazing. It's spread across a couple of computers now. We've got hard drives everywhere at the moment. What we've had to do is, what it does show you, Mick, is that when this started, and you know, I was saying, oh, I'll just, if you offer any support, tell me who you are, I'll put it on a list. And as somebody who had their own lived experience, somebody who struggled with depression and anxiety and a suicide attempt, I was so unaware even at that point of the amount of support that was available. I was so naive that I genuinely thought that if I said, tell me who you are, it'll just be a couple of different services. And so, you know, I remember being shocked when it was 50, and I remember being shocked when it was 200. And to be at where we are now with 14, maybe 14,500 services listed within the Hub of Hope, it's constantly growing. But what has happened as a result of that is everything that we did build, everything that we thought we were doing from a user experience point of view, from the actual, you know, the database itself, it's expanded beyond our imagination. And so what we've had to do is invest into that technology to make it actually powerful, big enough to be able to deal with a database of that magnitude. And as we said, the amount of people who then are relying on it and using it every day, every month, every year, we've had to learn as we go here, because we built it. And I think we talked about it when we first launched it. We built it as this nice thing, and it's become such a vital thing now.
Tell us now, if you can, about the specifics, or how specific people can be about what they're looking for and where they can find it.
Yeah, so when we started this, the whole idea behind the Hub of Hope was to make help as easy as possible to find. So the idea was, you go on it, you just press a button that says find nearby services, and it will show you what's nearby to you. But as I said, that is based on smaller amounts of services. As we've been able to build that and grow that and have as many services as we have now, it actually became quite overwhelming, which was the opposite to everything that we wanted to do. You go and find nearby services, and then suddenly you get hundreds of services. So we've had to learn, we've had to grow, we've dealt with and talked to a lot of people who use the Hub of Hope either for themselves or other people to understand their needs and wants and how it could work for them. And so we've made it a much more user-friendly platform for the size that it is, so that you can look more specifically at the type of support that you want, whether it is something like friendly for epilepsy, or whether it is friendly for people with sight or hearing loss, for example. So we're trying to be really, really specific about the support that you want. One of the biggest things that we've changed as well is we've created a really clear pathway for young people. So that was something that, again, when we're in the old Hub of Hope, the filters that were there, they were just all alphabetical, and young people was at the bottom of the alphabet. And so people weren't necessarily getting to that. Then tried a couple of different things along the way, but we realized, you know, as things have kind of got worse in many, many ways with mental health within the UK at the moment, we know that there's an absolute need for better pathways for young people. And so with this new Hub of Hope that we're launching today, we've made a really, really clear pathway for young people right front and centre of the new Hub of Hope.
There's two things going on here as well, Jake, I wanted to ask you about. One is that people are becoming much more aware of the Hub of Hope, and secondly, that more and more people are needed to access mental health services. So there's sort of, one's a good thing, the other's a bad thing. How are you sort of reading that? What's the sort of anecdotal evidence that you're picking up around the need for the services versus the publicity around the services, which is obviously both have grown at the same time?
They have. And, you know, this is the amazing thing about all of this. And especially from, if you think about where we've come from, and I say we as the team here, but I also talk about me and you, really, when we talk about when we started the Hub of Hope and we were talking about it as a concept. At no point did I ever think, one, about the size that it would grow to, but also the capabilities and data and analytics that it could be telling us and showing us. By building a directory and a database of 14.5+ services for mental health support, we've automatically created the biggest asset mapping exercise in the country. Nobody anywhere can show you and tell you what mental health provision looks like in this country. And we can map it. We can see where mental health provision is in the country. But importantly, we can also see where it isn't. And whilst the Hub of Hope is completely anonymized, we don't collect any personal data. We don't want any of your data. We just want you to get help and support. But we can see certain trends of where people are looking for help and support and what type of support people are looking for. And so if you combine the two, what we're able to actually see is, are people looking for support at a time of day or a day of the week or a day of the month or part of the country? And is that support actually available? And when you think about it like that, it's so powerful that we would be able to see if there was somebody calling a phone line and there was nobody there to answer it, we'd never know that they actually called. We can see whether people are looking for support, whether it is there or not. And that information that we can see will allow us to then determine whether, you know, policy or commissioning. Actually, loads of people are looking for crisis support on a Sunday evening in Warrington, for example. Is that support available? And if it isn't, then can we try to make that support available? And that's the power of what we're able to do. What we are seeing constantly, and it's right across the country, we can see information nationally and hyperlocally as well, is that people are constantly looking for support around depression, around anxiety, around different times of year. There'll be people looking for financial support, people looking for menopause support, people looking for self-harm support. But it changes wherever we are in the country. And we can look at that and we can see that, and we can start to then try to influence. You know, the Hub of Hope was written into the government's suicide prevention strategy. And we fundamentally believe that's where we belong to be, because we think what we can tell people and importantly about the grassroots support that's available can make a difference in funding those type of organisations, making communities better for people to live well in, and to create an environment where people don't need to go to A&E. In my honest opinion, I think we are now seeing the results of people saying it's important to talk about your mental health, because talking about it is great and can be really helpful. But once people are aware and once people talk about it, they're not necessarily getting the help and support that they then need. And that's why those community assets, the community groups, the voluntary sector organisations, many of which are created from lived experience, can absolutely hold the key in reducing waiting lists, in reducing thresholds, reducing stigma, and helping people to stay well where they actually live.
I wanted to ask you this. How responsive is it now in terms of you being able to see how people search for help and support on the Hub of Hope based on external factors, things that have happened in the outside world that draws people in to then look for help?
Absolutely. It can be as specific as a program on television. It can be specific as things in the news. There was times in the past around elections, US elections, announcements around, I remember back in COVID, there was huge spikes when we were talking about restrictions being lifted. So people then going back out in the public, we saw huge spikes of people looking for support for anxiety. So it is really, really specific. And as I said, if something happened in a certain part of the country, we'd be able to see specifically whether those trends have gone up or down. And it makes absolute sense. You know, if we're watching something on television, whether that's the news or a program about something that's quite, sensitive, you know, you'd often see at the end of some programs, it will say, if you've been affected by this, you can call this number. Or, you know, if you were going on a Hub of Hope, we'd be able to see actually what people are looking for and those type of trends. So it's constant. It changes every single day. So, yeah, you know, on one hand, we can give you a really generalized view of the need of people across the country, but also we can give you really specific based on world events, based on anything that's happened.
In terms of feedback to what you've achieved in these last years, what's the feedback that stands out the most to you?
Do you know what? It's really strange, because naturally we don't really hear back because people go on it and they use it and they go and get help. Myself personally, I remember I was doing parkrun, and I had a t-shirt on, a Hub of Hope t-shirt, and I was just running and I was struggling actually. There was these two women behind me, and one of them said, "Oh, have you heard about that Hub of Hope?" and started to tell the the lady exactly what it was. And then she said, that sounds exactly like what I need. And she was explaining it to her. And it was amazing to hear that personally, but it also made me like, I had to stay in front of them then, you know, so I had to pick up my speed and maintain that speed because just for brand awareness, I had to keep doing that. But we'll never know, you know, we'll never know the true impact that we have. And that's something that we just need to be okay with and comfortable with, and we are. But we need to also know that behind every number, behind every person who's using the Hub of Hope, is somebody who's trying to give themselves a chance or give somebody a chance to live well and to, you know, recover or to find that help and support. And this is live information, it's live data of people trying their best to give themselves a chance and give themselves hope. And that's something that we feel so passionately about.
And that's important, isn't it? Because, you know, there's one thing never knowing the people you'll help, but the one thing you will know is the people that you weren't able to help. And you'll see the stats and you'll see that. But I guess that for you only sort of inspires you further to say, we can go further. We know statistically we're helping people, but we also know there's a plenty more people out there who will be needing help.
This is the thing. What we wanted to do was we wanted to create consistency around signposting, because we know that it's really, really hard to find the help and support. And there's so many different organizations out there that are doing amazing things, but then they try to do, you know, from a good place. They try to help everyone with everything, and they're not in the best place to do that. So being able to signpost effectively is also being able to say to those type of organizations, you know, the other type of support that's here, creating that environment, creating that consistency can then reach other people. And if we were able to do that consistency, working in partnership, working in collaboration, there is a whole load of new communities that we can speak to. What we're trying to do is just one part of the jigsaw, one part of that piece, really. And so collaboration is absolutely key for us. We work with some amazing organizations as the official signposting partner. So people like Network Rail or Mind nationally, or Mental Health First Aid. And we work with pub groups, and we work with car parks, and we work with shopping centres. But what we're doing can absolutely just fit in with anybody. So what we say to everyone and anyone is, work with us. Use your message, your voice in the way that you would usually do it, but use our tool within that. And if we can start to work with people, start to think where people are, where do people go, and where are people comfortable, where are people shopping, where are they going to spend their spare time, let's go out to people and give that message to them instead of waiting for them and putting the onus on them to come and find that help and support. You know, 300,000 people a year is a phenomenal thing for us to have achieved, especially given we've come from nothing. But it's still a relatively small number of the actual amount of people that we can reach. But I'm incredibly proud of what we've done, what the team have done. And hopefully now with this new Hub of Hope, it can allow us to reach more people than ever and give people more options of hope than ever.
In terms of people interacting with it, the website is the same. The app, do people need to download a new version of the app? What if people have not downloaded it before? Do they need to wait? What's the deal?
Yeah, so it should be live from today. And then I believe that it should automatically come through as an update. But if not, just go on your App Store, whether that's your Play or your Apple App Store, and you'll be able to download the new app. But yeah, the Hub of Hope, hubofhope.co.uk, will automatically be changed. So you can go on and you can see what it looks like, have a mess about, find the things that are near you, but download it, have it on your phone, even if you never ever use it, just have it there just in case you do.
But I think there's something quite reassuring about finding out that there are quite a lot of services near you. Like if you clicked on it and then you found there was absolutely nothing and nobody was there to help and there were no services available. But you click on and like you say, you can find, you know, a map full, and suddenly go, actually, there's loads of stuff here. There's loads of people who we can sort of, and I think there's, there's like a sense of community around it, that if you did reach out, there would be people within the community who could respond, rather than that thing which is really insidious of all in all this, of people who just feel like they're on their own.
Absolutely. Like, you know, I think we describe it as a, we've almost got a community of communities. You know, we've got this directory of services of so many people, but it's testament, all of this, every single bit of this is testament to the team that we've got working for us. Every single part of the rebuild, every single part of going from 100 to 14,500 services, the quality assurance process for making sure that services are correct and up to date. There's a communication to all of those services to let them understand what this is. You know, every single part is a testament to that team that we've been able to build to create that community of communities. And as you said, going on there and finding something, and even if you never ever use it, is reassuring in itself, because you can have a look and go, actually, I'm not alone. There is support. And maybe internally you might go, right, okay, well, I've got that in my back pocket just in case. If I want to, I know I can go there. And that's all we're trying to do. That being said, and 14,500 services is amazing. However, it's still not all of them. So there will be areas where people may look on the Hub of Hope and there's nothing really local to them. But let us know. That's how we grow. That's how we do this. And if there's any services out there that want to be part of the Hub of Hope, it's absolutely completely free to be on. Anyone can register. You do it on the Hub of Hope itself. You'll go through to our team and they'll go through the relevant checks with all those services, but it's completely free to be on. So if you go on it and you think there's nothing in my area, tell us. That's how we can start to try to reach those communities where maybe there isn't as much support as others.
Yeah, absolutely. Jake, thank you so much for your time. It's always a pleasure. I tell you what was quite amusing to me, because we've known each other for a long old time now, is that you were referred to in a press release as a former comedian, which really tickled me. It's a little bit like calling someone a part-time model.
I probably sign that off, ironically.
But actually, there was that thing of your journey has been a big part of this, from suicide survivor and then being the first person that I knew who suddenly said, I'm going to talk about that publicly. It's part of, well, it is the reason really I'm doing what I'm doing now, because when I was talking to you and we were saying, this is happening to quite a lot of people, isn't it? Maybe we should talk about it even more. That was a huge eye opener for me back then, but it was always with comedian Jake Mills. And of course you've sort of transcended that role. I feel like you've transcended that role rather than left it behind. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, is it too late to withdraw a press release? I remember you saying about wanting to, you said, you know, I want to do like a mental health show and podcast. And I remember you saying, do you think we'll get enough people? And that was years and years and years ago now.
2016, that would have been really burn having that conversation.
Was it? So there you go. And I just think that it's testament to how far we have come as a society that we are, you know, you're able to do this as regular as you are, the amount of conversations that you're having. You know, we have come a long way, but whilst awareness has gone up, services have stagnated, and, you know, putting people in touch with other types of support, especially community support, whilst that's amazing and really important and we're proud to be able to do that, those services are struggling as well. And so this isn't about pushing downhill and just putting all the pressure on those type of organisations. We also want to represent them. You know, we want to represent the need, demonstrate and evidence the need of those type of organisations, so that hopefully we can get a better funding model for ourselves and for them as well. But yeah, it just shows you how far that we have come, not just from the Hub of Hope itself, but being able to have the conversations, not just about the people who are willing to talk, it's the people who are willing to listen as well.
And the last thing I need to do is to remind people that the Hub of Hope app is available on your Apple Store or for your Android device, and also via hubofhope.co.uk. And as ever, Jake Mills, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.